Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. If you got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16. It's funny getting older, isn't it? You find yourself having conversations. Some of you are a bit older than me, obviously. Some of you are a bit younger. But you find yourself having conversations and with people and you're about to say, oh, about 15, 20 years ago. And then you realise it wasn't. It was over 30 years ago and 35 years ago and things like that. And you think, God. Anyway, I'm glad we're going to live forever. So it doesn't matter how old we are in the natural. We already have eternal life on the inside of us. So there's no fear of death when you're living in the great rest. So your body might be getting older, but everything else is getting younger. Your spirit is still alive, full of life, and life is good. Now, what we want to do this morning is carry on for a few minutes from where we got to last week. Last week, we spoke about, it's all in the context of living in the great rest, but we spoke about Peter being arrested, and he was put in prison. That he was going to be tried the next morning, and he was put in prison because James, who was leading the church in Jerusalem, had already been taken into prison. Then he was killed, and because the king at the time knew it pleased the Jewish people to do that, he arrested Peter, and probably Peter was going to face the same fate the next day. But in the pressure moment that Peter faced and everything that was going on, it says that he was sitting between two guards in his cell and he was asleep. And there were four lots of other four guards that were posted around the cell and around where he was because they knew he'd been with Jesus. And when they went to arrest Jesus, the power of God was released and nobody could stand up. All the soldiers, everybody hit the deck. And so there was something about these guys that followed Jesus that wasn't normal. Just turn to somebody next to you and say, you are not normal. And maybe turn to them and say, you certainly don't look it either. And the church were some of the disciples were meeting, praying at somebody's house, and in the middle of the night, it said, suddenly an angel appeared in the cell and it said, basically slapped Peter on the side. It didn't say touched him. It slapped him on the side and woke him up. And basically, as he got up, got dressed, the angel said, follow me. And all the prison doors just opened in front of them. Even though all the guards were there, even though in the natural, the enemy likes to position opposition, whether it's circumstances, people, whatever it might be, that want to say to us as we go forward with God, you cannot go any further. You cannot break through. You cannot move forward. You cannot come into everything God wants you to come into. And in that place of the great rest, where he could have been freaking out that night, he could have been panicking, he could have been crying out, God, where are you? What's going on? You've let me down. And all of this stuff, he was in the rest of God and he was asleep. And in the rest, we attract the supernatural. In the rest, supernatural things happen. Because the supernatural is God activity, not our own activity. When we live in ourselves and we take things on board to try and sort them out in our own lives, in this one, this kind of the self chair or the soulless chair, we're doing things in our own effort, we don't attract the supernatural there. We attract a lot of other rubbish. The enemy loves it when we sit here because we attract his attention here because he knows he's on a winning kind of thing. And so he tries to attack us in this moment. You know, when we're living in the great rest, we attract the supernatural. There's supernatural activity that takes place and things happen in front of us and before us as we walk with God that we don't open up. God opens up. Because we've been understanding recently that in Micah 2:13, it talks about God is the breakthrough. He is the one who breaks out. And he's the one that goes before us. And when we're living in the great rest, we're living in the one who is breakthrough. Now, why are we going on and on and on about this stuff over the last few weeks? Because God wants us to live right here in the rest of God. God is breakthrough. So God doesn't want us just to think about breakthrough as a momentary thing. I only need a breakthrough when I need a breakthrough. So the next time there's hassles, I need a breakthrough. So I better gird up my faith and gird up in prayer and stir up everything on the inside of me to see if I can get a breakthrough. No, God does not want us to live like that. And that's not how He as breakthrough works in our lives. You see, if His Holy Spirit is the Spirit of breakthrough, and in the great rest, you are dependent on the Holy Spirit. This is a place of living in trust. I'm trusting you, God. I'm not going to try and do things in my own effort. I'm certainly not going to go back to what it was like before I was saved over there. But I'm going to choose to trust you moment by moment. It's a moment by moment relationship, living in the now of God. Now, in Micah 2:13, it talks about God being the God of breakthrough, the God of breakout. Therefore, God is the God of breakthrough at every moment in your life. So therefore, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God at work in you and me, is the Spirit of breakthrough. Therefore, that makes you a person of breakthrough. It doesn't make you a person that can break through when it is needed at a given moment. It means that you are a person of breakthrough at every moment. Therefore, the spirit of faith, the dynamic of faith on the inside of you, is faith to break through. It's faith to overcome. It's faith that doesn't rest back and do nothing, because faith is a verb. It's active. It does stuff. But the faith that is at work on the inside of you and me is this spirit of faith, this spirit of breakthrough, that will not settle back and just live with the status quo. That will just come under stuff. The spirit on the inside of you is to overcome, is to break through, is to push past every resistance. But because that spirit of faith is at work in you all the time, that means it's possible to be breaking through constantly. Because breakthrough is a way you think. Breakthrough is an attitude that you have. Breakthrough is not just, I need to pray now because I need a breakthrough. No, breakthrough is a position. It's who you are in the Spirit. Now, if we turn to Acts chapter 16, we're going to kind of just look a bit further than what happened to Peter. Peter was in the rest. He was asleep. The believers were praying for him. He had a breakthrough. He came out. So he had a breakthrough. But God wants us living in the rest. He wants us to understand that living in the rest is more than just a personal breakthrough. So let's have a look what happens to Paul and Silas. They're going about their business. They're on the way to a prayer meeting in chapter 16. It says they were going to a place of prayer. And on the way, they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul got so fed up, so troubled, that he turned around and said to the spirit, "Just for goodness sake, shut your gob and go." That is the modern day translation you'll find in the Message. Shut your gob and leave her. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners saw that she realized that the slave girl, this had happened, their hope of making money was gone. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and they are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. It's not going well for these guys today, is it? After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. It's not a good day for these guys. They were going to have a bit of a pray, that's all. They're going to have a prayer meeting. The next thing, they find themselves flogged, beaten, before the magistrates. Everybody's after them. They're in jail. They're not only in jail, they were put in the inner cell. We'll come back to that in a minute. And it said they were guarded carefully. Man, There's some parallels here with what happened to Peter. Four lots of four soldiers guarding Peter. Two people either side of him, making sure he couldn't get away. But there was still a breakthrough. So here's Paul and Silas. They're going about the business of God. They're going about, they're just on the way to pray. Why were they going to pray? Because they knew breakthrough and advancement in their lives and in the purposes of God comes through prayer. It doesn't come through great gifting. It doesn't come through great ability. We can be gifted. We can have great abilities. That helps to get the job done. But the breakthrough in prayer, the breakthrough in the Spirit happens in prayer. That's where the breakthrough is. See, if we need breakthroughs in our lives, it comes in prayer. Now, let's just carry on for a few moments. Verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Let's just give a bit of context to this then. So they were in prison, and they were put in the inner cell. Now, normally, all the prisoners were put in the inner cell at night. It was the most secure part of a prison. It was the innermost part. So they built it in kind of layers, I suppose. And the inner part was the middle bit, was the most secure. And what they used to do at night was put all of the prisoners in the prison in the inner cell. And so they could guard them more easily. The only problem is with this inner cell, because they used to pack them in there, there was no light. There was not a lot of breathing space. People used to suffocate in there. People used to die in there. And everything, because they used to squash them in at night. But it was the place where they knew it was the most safe to keep the prisoners. And so they decided, let's put Paul and Silas in the inner cell, because these guys are a little bit dangerous. When these guys are around, things happen. So we need to have extra vigilance about these men. So they put them in this inner cell. Now, they were put in there, and maybe they were the only ones in there when they were put in. They were chained, and they were put in stocks. But then it says, at midnight. Now, by that point, everybody else had joined them. All the other prisoners had been put with them, and it would have been a squeeze in there. There wouldn't have been a lot of air in there. There was no light in there. It wasn't a nice place to be. It was damp. Now, remember, these guys have been flogged. They've been whipped. They've been beaten. Floggings in those days were not nice. It wasn't just a little whip, you know, with a few, you know. You know, they would have given 39 of these things, and they would have had bits of bone and stone and all sorts in. They'd have been ripped to shreds. Now, I don't know about you, that's never happened to me. Now, if anybody had cause to moan and complain and ask God, where are you? This would be quite a good moment, wouldn't it? Because these guys, they find themselves whipped and beaten, and all they were doing was going to a prayer meeting. That's where it started. They began to get somebody just going on and on and on for a few days afterwards till they got pretty troubled. And it's like, look, this is just annoying us now. And they dealt with the situation. But the next thing is they're in prison. As we walk with God and as we walk in the ways of God, the enemy understands that we become dangerous. Firstly, because when we live in the great rest, when we seek to live with God moment by moment, we live in freedom. This is the most free place to live. Free from yourself. Because when you're in the great rest, you're living in the identity of who you are in Christ. You're having revelation of who you are in Christ, what he thinks about you, how he sees you, how he speaks over your life, who you are in him, your identity, your security. And the great thing is, when you live in the great rest, it's not a revelation of knowledge. See, when God gives revelation, it's not to give you more knowledge of who he is. So it's like, I know more about God in terms of knowledge. When he reveals himself, he wants to reveal himself so that we know him in an experiential way. So when he wants to reveal something about himself, he doesn't want to reveal knowledge. He wants to reveal knowing. So that as you seek to moment by moment, God, I want to know you. I want you to reveal who you are so that I experience that revelation in my relationship with you. And as you live in the great rest, you're still going to get bombarded from left, right, and center with the enemy. But as you seek to live in the great rest, you're more aware of him and who he is and what he's speaking, what he's saying, what he's revealing of who he is. That's more powerful than negativity, accusation, the circumstances that might be challenging you. So Paul and Silas, they learned how to live in the rest of God. So when they were in the middle of, when they were in this inner cell, chained, shackled, stocked, it said they were put in the stocks. When everybody else had joined them, not a lot of air in there. Dark, damp, whipped. They must have been in a lot of agony, a lot of pain. And what arose in that moment? They were praying and they began to sing. They began to worship. Pretty awesome, eh? In pain, circumstances were not good. God, we were just on our way to pray the other day and now we're here. See, the enemy loves to make it feel like and seem like he's got us in an inner cell. This sickness is never going to go. This diagnosis, that's not going to leave. That relationship that's broken down, that's never going to get restored. The opposition here, the situation there, the negativity, whatever, he just tries to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. And in the middle of their circumstances, they were praying. It doesn't say what they were praying, it doesn't say what they were singing, but they were praying and they were singing hymns, they were worshipping. But it says all the other prisoners were listening. Well, they probably didn't have a choice because they were all in there with them. So, I don't know how many were in there, but there's loads of guys in there all squeezed into this cell. It must have stank, I don't know, But these guys were, Paul and Silas, they were bleeding, they were in pain, they were in agony. But in the middle of that, they were like, Father, you're awesome, you're powerful. Worship you. You're majestic. You're wonderful. You're King. You're Lord. You're amazing. Because no matter what happened to them, it didn't change what was going on the inside of them. What was going on the inside rose up and overtook the pain. They overtook the possible peer pressure. What are these guys going to think if we start to pray and start to worship? What are they going to think about us in this situation? So what was going on was stronger than fear, peer pressure, circumstances. In those times, I was doing a bit of reading about this the other day. They used to have quite a lot of earthquakes back then, tremors and things in that part of the world back then. And it says in verse 25, about midnight, while they were praying and singing to God and the other prisoners were listening to them, it says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake. Now, I don't think that was coincidence at this moment. While they were worshiping and praying, that suddenly, you see, what does the great rest do? It attracts the supernatural. It attracts the activity of God. So while they were praying, while they were worshiping, what happens? Suddenly, God turns up. Suddenly, God shows up. Suddenly, stuff begins to happen. He says there was a violent earthquake, but then what does it say? It says the foundations of the prison were shaken. The foundations are the very things that were set to hold them, restrict them, bind them, and overcome them. The very foundations of those things were severely shaken. You see, when we begin to pray, when we begin to worship, when we begin to exalt God in the middle of challenge, in the middle of sickness, in the middle of opposition, in the middle of lies, in the middle of anything else going on, as we begin to pray, as we begin to exalt God over everything that's going on, the very foundations of everything that the enemy seeks to shut you and me down with are shaken, they're shattered, they're loosened, they're broken. Because in the midst of that, the enemy cannot stand against us, cannot stand against you. The Bible says no weapon formed against you can prosper. No weapon fashioned against you can stand. The very foundations of this place, this restriction, were shaken. And at once the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came off. Wow. God wants us to understand some things, not just by knowledge, but he wants to begin to experience some things in that knowing of who he is. You see, last week we spoke about Peter being in the rest, and in that place he was like, wow, God's in charge, it's okay, and he went to sleep. There was other activity going on for him, praying for him, and God opened things up and he came out. That was a personal breakthrough. See, when you're living in the great rest, you'll have personal breakthrough. You'll live in breakthrough. There'll be personal breakthrough. Why? Because you're living in the one who is breakthrough. But in that, God wants us to grow and mature and understand that as we are a person of breakthrough and as we learn how to live as a person of breakthrough, then God wants to take that further so that other people then begin to get breakthroughs because you are a person of breakthrough. Because you're living in breakthrough. Therefore, there's going to be breakthroughs at hand for others because you're living in breakthrough. See, this is how God has called us to live as believers. This is how he's called us to live as the church. Because there are loads and loads of people all around our lives that need breakthrough. You see, people need to hear the song that is in our lives. They need to hear the sound that is in our lives. See, everybody was around them in this prison cell. They were standing there listening to them pray and sing. And in that moment, suddenly, supernatural, suddenly something happened. Things were shaken. Foundations were shaken. And those things were not just shaken around Paul and Silas's life. They were also shaken around everybody's lives that were around them. Everything was shaken around them. Don't you love it?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you love it? Everything around them was shaken. It wasn't just Paul and Silas. It was everybody's lives were shaken around them at that point. Because they were people of breakthrough. They were people living in the rest of God. And in that, they prayed. In that, they were worshiping. Shackles fell off everybody. The prison doors of all of those around them were blown off. Don't you love it? The jailer at that moment woke up. He realized what was going on. He was about to kill himself. And Paul shouted out, "It's okay. We're all still here." At that moment, every prisoner had the opportunity to run, to escape. What would they have done? They'd have all gone back to their old ways of life that they'd have lived in. Prison doors were open, but they didn't go back to their old lives. Look at what Paul says. Everybody, we are all here, every one of us. You see, when we're living in this type of breakthrough and as we grow in this and as God has called us as individuals and as a church to live in this way, everything of the enemy is shaken around our lives and other people's lives. Prison doors are blown open, but the great thing is when God works and moves, people don't go back to their old lives when the prison doors are open. They want to stay where God is working and moving. You see, they were listening to Paul and Silas. They were like, "I don't know what's going on here." Suddenly everything gets shaken. The prison doors get blown open. They didn't say, "I'm going to run and escape and go back to my old life." They were like, "I want to stay where something's going on. Something's happening here. I want to be around these guys. I want to be where God is at work. I want to be where God's moving." Wow. We're never, ever going to see our lives transformed and others transformed by doing things in the natural. Just by trying this and trying that and trying the other. You see, that breakthrough happened because they were here and they were like, "Father, you're awesome. We love you. You're amazing." Paul wrote himself, "Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Man, he wrote that, right? So now he's been whipped and beaten. He's in the inner cell. He's squashed in with loads of other guys. And he's there going, "Father, I thank you that I'm here. I thank you I'm in the middle of this situation. Praise your name. Father, in this, you're still the same. Yesterday, today, you're awesome. You're amazing. You're a mighty." And God's like, "I love that. Come on, let's shake the place. Come on. Come on, Gabriel, let's shake the place. Send a few angels down there. Let's just rock the place. Come on, let's go and join in with the breakthrough that's already going on with Paul and Silas. I love that because I think sometimes God says, join in with me. But in the great rest, God says, I'm going to join in with you because you're living in who I am. You're acting in who I am. You're being who I've called you to be. And I think God says, I love that. Come on, angels, let's go down and join in with the breakthrough that's going on inside my people right there. That's brilliant, isn't it? Whatever's going on in you, you attract stuff. It's either going to attract the supernatural, attract the God activity, or it's going to attract a lot of other rubbish if we're over there. Now, again, I was reading up some stuff about what it was like to be in prison the other day in that time, a Roman jail, in that kind of context, around that sort of time in the early first century. And the jailer, out of all the people that were running the jail, would have been the worst in terms of how he treated the prisoners. And the jailer was going to kill himself. And Paul said, it's okay, we're all here. And what happened? The jailer came running in. And what was his response? It wasn't, right, now we're going to lock everybody up and this, that, and the other. He ran in and said, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I do? And what was Paul and Silas's worst enemy at that moment? The person that could have shackled them, that could have locked them up, that could have restricted them, the very person that was their worst enemy at that moment, boom, he came in. What must I do to be saved? What do I do? The next thing, he takes them to his house. So he must have taken them. I don't know if he lived in the jail somewhere, but he took them into his house and made them a meal. Man, this is opposite than a few hours before where he might have been part of the whipping and the beating, and he made sure they were locked in there. They were being guarded. He might have put a few right foots in there, size 9 boots, when they were in there as well. You know, give them a bit of a kicking in there. Yeah, you know, we're going to lock you in here. I might as well give you an extra one just for good measure. A few hours later, Paul and Silas weren't going, that blooming jailer, if I could just pray down fire from heaven and sort him out, then I would do. Because they'd be over here then, wouldn't they? They'd be, you know, if we could just get that jailer, he gave me a right one in the ribs there when we were shackled in. I'd love to deck him and all of that kind of stuff. If Peter was around, he's 6'10", you know, we'd get Peter on him when we get out of here. Now, they were in here saying, Father, we thank you for the jailer. Thank you for all those that have slapped us, beaten us. Thank you for all those that have whipped us. Thank you for those that have kicked our heads in. Wow. Thank you for those that have just persecuted us. It's an opportunity to praise you, Father. Opportunity to rejoice in the middle of that. See, that's where God works. That's where God moves. That's where God turned up. The next thing, this guy, he gets saved, the jailer, and his whole household gets saved. Wow. What was an enemy suddenly becomes his best mate. What was coming against him suddenly had to bow its knee. So it might not be a person, but the way the enemy works, you know, when we're in the great rest and it's like, Father, I praise you. There could be so much noise and activity going on around. La, la, la. Everything, circumstances, opposition, negativity, rubbish. In the middle of that, we're like, God, you're brilliant. Father, so awesome. See, what happens when that happens? Massive shield of faith comes around you. Fortress, protection. You're like, God, so amazing. So mighty. Supernatural activity, stuff starts to happen. God begins to shake things around you. Things have to bow down, not to you, but to God. Amen. See what I mean? When we live like that, the enemy's like, man, I can't get this person. I can't. This is like, every time I try something, they just go, Father, thank you for being in this situation. I love you. You're amazing. I exalt you. Your name and your word over my life. Thank you. You're my protection. You're my shield. Father, I thank you. The enemy's like, for goodness sake, What do I need to do to get this person? Because every time I come, it doesn't matter what it is, I've whipped and beaten these guys, I've kicked their heads in, you know, and all that. And they're still going, Jesus, we love you. You're amazing. You're awesome. You're wonderful. I know it's not easy in the realities of life when everything in you is like you feel under attack or negative or stuff, you're having a bad day and stuff's going on. Man, but I tell you, just begin to lift your hands. Begin to raise your hands. Because thinking about it won't change anything. Worried won't change anything. In the midst of that, it's like, Father, all hell seems to be breaking loose around my life. Stuff seems to be going on. But in the middle of it, I exalt you, praise you, choose to trust you. Thank you that you know a way through that I don't know, but I choose to trust you. However you're going to do it, I thank you. I praise your name. I glorify you. Paul and Silas could have turned around and said, God, where are you? Where are you? What is God doing? Where is he in this? Imagine Joseph had the dreams. Took him, I don't know however many years, 20-something years before he was actually leading the, you know, whatever he was in the country in Egypt. And it looked like he was there, and then suddenly he's in jail. Next thing, he's in jail again. He's in trouble. He's in captivity, whatever. But all the way through, what is recorded, he never had a go at God. I think that story's in there to help us see, no matter what goes in our lives, we can never turn around and say, God, where are you? What on earth are you doing? It's more like, God, I don't understand what's happening. You do, but I praise you in it. I thank you. That's the fastest way to break through, fastest way to come out of something, through something, the other side. Great thing is Paul and Silas, their breakthrough wasn't just for themselves. It was for everybody else around them. And that's how, let's stand together. And that's what God wants, not just to help us understand by knowledge and information, but in our experience of walking with him. And we're going to exalt the Lord over our own lives now for a few minutes. We're going to exalt the Lord over different situations. We're going to exalt the Lord right now over whatever situations and circumstances that we might need to exalt him over. Whatever opposition, whatever challenges, whatever negativity, we're going to exalt him. Just lift our hands. Funny how Karen, not funny, but it's interesting how Karen in the worship said, let's lift our hands and just lay our lives before him as a living sacrifice. Because what are you doing when you do that? You're saying, God, I surrender. God, I rest from my own efforts here and trying to be something, and I surrender. I lay myself on the altar. See, that's what living in the great rest is. God, I lay on the altar, I lay myself before you, surrender to you. As we lift our hands, we're saying, God, I exalt you. Father, I exalt you. Just raise your hands and just speak with him now. Father, I exalt you over my life. I exalt you. I exalt your name. I exalt your word. See, they were praying, exalting his name over their lives. And they were singing. They were exalting his word over their situation. They were exalting his name and his word. When we pray, we're exalting his name and his word over situations. When we're worshiping, we're exalting his name and his word over circumstances, over our lives. So just exalt his name and his word over your life. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. So no matter what shackles, no matter what doors, no matter what might be trying to restrict, hinder, stop, it could be lies from the enemy, could be circumstance, could be sickness, whatever it is, exalt his name and his word over everything going on. Exalt him right now. You could be having trouble with one of your kids. There's just some stuff going off in their life at the moment. Just instead of trying to battle that and trying to just say, Father, I exalt your name and your word right now over my child. I exalt your name over trouble. I exalt your name over despair. I exalt whatever is going on. You might have had some trouble recently, some stuff that's been really difficult, something that's taking you left field, try to take you out. God, I exalt your name and your word. I thank you that you're my strong tower. You're my refuge. I exalt your name and your word. Father, I thank you there's breakthrough for my life, but there's breakthrough for others all around me. Father, I thank you that the foundations of the prison cells that the enemy tries to restrict me in and restrict others in, they're broken. They're being shattered as I exalt your name and your word, as I lift up who you are over my life, over the circumstances, over the situation, over those that have come against me. I exalt your name and your word over their lives. I thank you for that opposition. I thank you for this opportunity to rise up above that, to exalt you, to praise you, to glorify you in the middle of that, not to moan, not to complain, not to say, where are you, God? But to say, Father, I thank you that you're right here in the middle of this situation with me. And as I exalt your name and your word, I thank you that you come and say, I'm going to join in with that breakthrough with you and bring you out of that, but bring loads of other people out as well. So, Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Praise your name. Sicknesses being shattered off people's lives. Sicknesses being shattered off people's lives. Depression being broken off people's lives. Heaviness being lifted off people's lives. Somebody here, one of your kids, you've taken them a few times to the doctors because of some of their kind of behavior, not behavior in terms of they're just rebellious, not that kind of behavior, but just they're wired and they're overactive and all that. And the doctors have said, well, you know, we've done some tests, this, that, the other, and they've labeled that your child in a certain way. Well, you're just going to have to make allowances for their behavior and for the way they're wired and made up. And I believe God's saying to you this morning, as you exalt his name and his word over your life, over your child's life, God is going to change some of the wiring of your child. I believe God's saying that you don't need to accept the diagnosis. Your child's always going to be, it's just they're overactive, this, that, or the other in their brain, and therefore they're la, 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 so they're going to be this, that, and the other. And I believe God's saying, no, you don't need to accept that. And as you exalt my name and my word over your child, I'm going to reconfigure some things in their life. You're going to find their behavior settles down. And where they seem to just go at 150 miles an hour and everything's just on overload at times, there's going to be a peace that comes upon them. I believe God's saying to you that when your child's asleep tonight, to go into their room and lay your hand on their head and just speak over their lives, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And as you do that, just believe that God, by his Spirit, will just be healing, working, moving in your child's brain. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Father, we praise your name. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's thank him. Let's praise him. Just keep going for a few minutes. Just exalt him. Exalt his name and his word over your life, over situations. Exalt his name and his word. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Mighty one, awesome one, powerful one. You know, many of us, we live with other people, whether it's as a, you know, you might be sharing a home with two or three other single people or whatever. You could be with your family, whoever you're living with. You're a household. And it's important, you know, in our households that we do what Paul and Silas did, where people are all around them, but in that they exalted the Lord. And especially, you know, when you've got kids, that you have times where in the middle of that environment, you say, come on, guys, let's exalt the Lord. Let's praise him. Let's pray together and let's worship together. You might say, well, we're not very good at singing. Stick a CD on then just to help you. And sing along to it and worship. You know, if that can help, that's fine. You know, I don't think you've all got to just croak along and it's like we're all a bit embarrassed because, you know, we're all singing at different keys, we're out of tune and nobody really knows the song anyway. They can't remember the words, you know. But just put a CD in it or something. But it's like, right, we're going to exalt the Lord over our family, over our household, over whoever. We're going to exalt the Lord. We're going to praise Him over our lives, over work, over whatever. See, as we exalt the Lord and praise Him, it's like we've been talking about a gate, heaven to earth. Gates open things up. They allow things in, they allow things out. And they also stop things coming in and stop things coming out, you know. But praise is powerful. The enemy flees when we praise, when we worship, when we give Him adoration. So I encourage you every day this week, let's make it a week of praise. Let's make it a week of adoration. Let's make it a week of worship. That no matter what goes on, this is not just your prayer time. Just remember that. Living in the great rest is not your prayer time in the morning, where it's just, right, I've had my great rest time. Now I'm going to go and get on with the day. What you're doing, and we said a while ago, you're in the great rest, and therefore, in your daily life with God, you're in the great rest all the time. It's like, God, why? Because it's moment by moment. It's in tune with you. It's Holy Spirit, thank you that you lead me right now. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for whatever I need at this moment. I don't know what to do at work here. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for showing me. Thank you for creativity. Thank you for ideas. Thank you for this meeting coming up. I don't have to worry about it in an hour's time. I've got to prep for it. Thank you for your ideas. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for the words as I walk in. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to be intimidated because He who is in me is greater than what's going on in other people in the room. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm not the tail, I'm the head. So, Father, I thank you that you're my peace. I mean, it's that moment by moment. God, I don't want to do anything in my own efforts.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.